Good evening, Zimbabwe. This is Change Radio News. Today is Monday, 2 March 2026. The news is read by Rutendo Chinzara. Here are the news headlines. President Nelson Chamisa condemns the wave of attacks on citizens opposing constitutional amendments. Lovemo Maduku calls for nationwide protest after an alleged assault by suspected state agents. Political analyst says state brutality has tainted the constitutional amendment process. President Nelson Chamisa has strongly condemned the escalating wave of brutal attacks and intimidation against citizens opposing illegal constitutional amendments. This follows an attack on National Constitutional Assembly leader Professor Lovemore Maduku and party members during a meeting in Harare. In a statement issued by the President's Bureau of Communications, President Chamisa said the attacks are part of an organized campaign to silence dissent and undermine citizens' constitutional rights. He described the situation as a growing constitutional and governance crisis, warning that the use of violence reflects a loss of public trust and legitimacy. President Chamisa said the crisis in Zimbabwe is fundamentally a crisis of governance and that these illegal amendments stand as its clearest manifestation. He argued that when those in power abandon persuasion for persecution, they reveal a confession of weakness, eroded public trust, and collapsing social contract. President Chamisa urged all citizens to stand united against the decay of governance and work collectively to restore dignity, constitutionalism, and justice for all. Constitutional law expert Lovemore Maduku has called for nationwide street protests following his alleged assault by suspected state agents, which he says occurred in the presence of police. Professor Maduku accuses ZANU-PF of pushing plans to extend President Emmerson Mnangagwa's term of office by a further 2 years. Police have denied any involvement in the assault and have not commented on the identity of the attackers. Speaking after the incident, Maduku said defending the Constitution requires action beyond the courts, arguing that while courts uphold the Constitution, it is defended through public action, including street protests. Let's hear him as he speaks.
There will obviously be street protests, which are risky, but which are required, because we cannot defend the Constitution just simply by saying it. The Constitution is defended in the streets. When we go to the courts, we are not defending the Constitution. When we go to the courts, we are upholding the Constitution. And I must emphasize that. When you go to the court, the purpose of the court is to uphold the Constitution, protect it. But to defend it, the Constitution can only be defended in the streets. There's a world of difference between upholding a constitution, which is to go to a court, go to others and so on and say, look, can you enforce this? Uphold it. But when you're now talking about defending, you can only defend your.
Meanwhile, Professor Lovemore Maduku has dismissed the claims by the Zimbabwe Republic Police that his party sought clearance for a meeting at its Harare offices. Speaking at a press conference, Maduku said the gathering was an internal party meeting and did not require police approval. He described the police statement as false and aimed at justifying what he calls a brutal attack by suspected state security agents the previous day. 17 party members, including Maduku, were hospitalized following the assault. Maduku called for accountability, insisting the meeting was lawful and condemning the issue of violence against unarmed citizens. Political analyst Mbofana says Zimbabwe has already tainted its constitutional amendment process through brutal repression of opposing voices. He argues that by meeting intellectual dissent with physical violence, the state has exposed its own insecurities and decapitated the legitimacy of the entire amendment process. Before public consultation had even begun, Mbofana points to the weekend attack on National Constitutional Assembly leader Professor Lovemore Maduku and party members, as well as the blocking of public dialogues in Harare and Bulawayo, as evidence that the government cannot win the battle of ideas. He says a constitution is meant to be a sacred social contract, not a personal diary to be written at the whim of the powerful. Concerns are mounting over what activists describe as an intensifying crackdown on dissent surrounding Constitutional Amendment Bill No. 3. Last week, unknown individuals painted X graffiti on the residence and offices of prominent critics, including Jameson Timber and the National Constitutional Assembly offices. Two NCA members were allegedly abducted, assaulted, and dumped in Harare's Highlands after attending a meeting opposing the bill. Public meetings with opposition figures have been banned in Harare and Bulawayo. Senator Jameson Timber says engaging in constitutional debate is a democratic right and duty, not subversion. Leading churches have warned Ms. Emmerson Mnangagwa against being persuaded to extend his stay in office, urging him to safeguard his legacy by upholding constitutionalism and ensuring a smooth transfer of power in 2028. In a pastoral letter, the Zimbabwe heads of Christian denominations encouraged him to resist what it described as deeply concerning attempts to amend the constitution for personal or political ends. The church grouping appealed to Mnangagwa not to tamper with the People's Driven 2013 constitution. Mnangagwa has previously pledged to abide by the constitution and to persuade those pushing him not to pressure him into extending his term. The group said entrenching constitutional democracy will better serve the country's development aspirations under Vision 2013. Stakeholders in Zimbabwe's health sector are urging the government to urgently review the outdated medical aid regulation from the year 2000, saying the law no longer reflects current healthcare financing realities. Industry representatives say some medical aid societies are operating both as funders and service providers. This, they say, is raising conflicts of interest, causing delayed reimbursements and reducing patient choice. They are calling for reforms to separate financing from service delivery and align regulations with plans for a national health insurance scheme. They warn that fewer than 7% of Zimbabweans currently have medical cover, leaving many without adequate health care. The Amalgamated Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe has formally returned to Paymaster, demanding that government start issuing physical payslips to civil servants again. ART usage argues that the move to a digital-only system is limiting transparency. The union says many teachers in rural areas do not have reliable internet access, and the rising cost of mobile data makes logging into the system an added expense. The union also claims the whole website is chronically offline and printed payslips are the only practical way for teachers to track earnings and spot unauthorized deductions. Two police detectives were killed yesterday in a shootout with an armed robber in Dangazaka. One detective died on the spot, another on the way to Mashingo Provincial Hospital. The suspect, Daniel Munyanyi of Ndemu Village, remains at large. National Police spokesperson Commissioner Paul Nyati says Munyanyi was part of a gang of five armed robbers being hunted by police. A team from CID Homicide in Harare arrested four gang members, but Munyanyi escaped after shooting the two detectives. Police are appealing for information leading to his arrest and have assured the public he will face the full wrath of the law. A young man is battling for his life at Mashingo Provincial Hospital after being stabbed in the chest by a village head accused of illegally selling state lands. 23-year-old Tatenda Tinaro was allegedly attacked by George Muvavi, a village head from Chief Ndanga area in Zaka. Muvavi is on the run and is accused of selling state lands even in villages outside his jurisdiction. Several other people who took him to court over land issues have also been attacked and injured. The incident has reignited concerns over corruption by traditional leaders who have turned state land into personal property for enrichment. In one case, east of Mashingo, Eben, a headman sold state land to hundreds of people in areas around Mutiriki Dam meant to be conservancy. No action was taken against him. In international news, tensions are escalating in the Middle East following the death of Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. The 86-year-old was killed during joint military strikes by the United States and Israel in Tehran. Senior commanders and family members also died in the attacks. Iran has declared national mourning and formed an interim leadership council. In retaliation, Iranian-aligned groups, including Hezbollah, launched missile and drone attacks on Israel. Israel forces have responded with airstrikes in southern Lebanon and around Beirut. At least 30 people are reported dead and hundreds injured. Meanwhile, three U.S. fighter jets were accidentally shot down by Kuwait air defenses during operations linked to the campaign against Iran. All six crew members ejected safely and are in stable condition. The cause of the incident is under investigation. Analysts warn the military escalation could further destabilize the region, disrupt global energy markets, and increase the risk of wider conflicts. And finally, in sports news, Zimbabwe lost to South Africa by 5 wickets in their final Super 8 match at the ICC Men's T20 World Cup in New Delhi. Betting face, Zimbabwe posted 153 for 7, with Sikander Raza scoring a team-high 73 runs and taking 3 wickets. South Africa successfully chased the target with 13 balls to spare. Despite the defeat, Raza says the team will take lessons from the match and aim to rebuild for future competitions. To end the news bulletin, here are the headlines once again. President Nelson Chamisa condemns the wave of attacks on citizens opposing constitutional amendments. Love Momadiku calls for nationwide protest after an alleged assault by suspected state agents. Political analyst says state brutality has tainted the constitutional amendment process. And that concludes our bulletin for today. We thank you for listening. From myself, Otendo Chinzara, and the entire team at Change Radio, we wish you a good night.